You're listening to FC UM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FC UM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's FA Trophy encounter against Nuneaton Town.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FC UM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FC UM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their top of the table clash with Merseyrail Bootle from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. Due to a healthy high Christmas demand, the club shop is currently experiencing a backlog of orders, which the club are processing as quickly as possible to send out to people. Please bear with the FC club shop elves, they are working hard to get all the orders out in the post in time for Christmas. But don't let this news stop you visiting the Mega Cabin this coming Saturday or online now at www.fcumshop.co.uk to get some of those last minute Christmas essentials. The Mega Cabin at Broadhurst will also be open late on Tuesday the 13th and Friday the 16th of December this week from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Elsewhere, and this year's FC Youth Christmas Party will take place before the match against Boston on the 17th of December. The party will be from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in the main stand bar and is free for FC Youth members. There will be the usual food, drinks and music, so please contact Chris B at fc-utd.co.uk or text 07813 913 357 for more information. And finally, it has been announced by the club that FC United's Broadhurst Park football ground will be open on Christmas Day to provide some Christmas comforts to the homeless of Manchester. Toiletries and towels will be provided to allow everyone the opportunity to have a hot shower, and will also be cooking up a hearty breakfast in the function room which overlooks the pitch. In addition, there will also be a range of activities available, including table football, table tennis, pool, Xbox, PS4 and various arts and crafts to bring some Christmas cheer to those attending. A minibus funded and driven by an FC United supporter will pick up from Piccadilly Gardens at 8:30 a.m, 9:15 a.m, 10 a.m, 10:45 a.m, 11:30 a.m and 12:15 p.m, and drop them back off in Manchester afterwards. FC United's kit man Mike Norton has sourced towels from his work, which have been kindly funded by the North Manchester Sports and Activity Forum. The Midland Hotel has also donated 20 towels, and L'Oreal have donated toiletries. Two local hairdressers have offered to cut people's hair for free, and we have also received offers of help from a couple of local nurses. The club has also received confirmation of a donation of a turkey, tomatoes and mushrooms to add to the 150 sausages that Grandad Sausages have donated. Wholesale fruit and vegetable supplier R. Noon and Son have also donated satsumas. All of the 30 identified volunteer roles have now been filled, and the club would like to express its sincere gratitude to everyone who is willing to give up their Christmas Day to help others. So to the football now, and on Tuesday evening, FC United finally hosted Nuneaton Town in the third qualifying round of this season's FA Trophy. To hear now if that match was worth the wait, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willers for a match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. FC United suffered a 5-1 home defeat to Nuneaton Town in the FA Trophy third qualifying round, bringing an abrupt end to a recent run of four consecutive victories. The two teams met in the league just over 2 weeks ago, with FC running out 3-0 winners, with what was at the time one of the most impressive performances of the season. Whether that performance created a sense in the players that they could easily do the same again isn't clear, but what was clear from the start was that the visitors were fired up for the encounter. FC United and Manchester 1, Nuneaton Town 5.
Down the line it goes. It's cut out there. Winter plays it nicely. On the turn is Kieran Glynn and plays that to Dale Tong. Now he'll bring it over halfway. Wants somebody come a bit closer. It's George Thompson does so. Glynn can't quite control that one. And they'll bring it away now. And it's Ironside who plays a nice looking ball there, the right hand side. And it's Clifton. Clifton plays it, and it's going to be 1-0. And Rhys Steik, who Paul spoke about just a few moments ago, on loan from Gateshead, puts the finish in, and FC undone there. And just, just acres of space there.
It was a lovely move, to be fair, wasn't it? But the space that Steik had in the middle there, I just don't know where the defenders got to. They just left him completely.
And that's Paul from FC United. And
3 minutes on the clock.
And FC, not a team noted for making life easy for themselves, put themselves in trouble straight away. But it was a nice move, lovely ball from Ironside, putting Clifton in. Clifton played a pretty much a first-time ball. And Steik there with a very composed finish there. Not a lot that David Carnell could do, but it's FC United of Manchester 0. Nuneaton Town 1 here. We're in the fourth minute.
This is the first time Nuneaton have led against us in four meetings.
Christian Dibble takes the goal kick. Scott Kay up, though, beats both him and Ironside. And now goal scorer Steik gets the better of Tong and brings it into the box. And that was a heavy chance, a penalty.
Tom Brown.
Tom Brown with that injudicious challenge there.
Nailed on.
And FC in bother here. 1-0 down and a penalty to Nuneaton. We've played, 6 minutes? And it's Steik, the danger man. Tong was beaten rather easily there. And then looked to the referee for some help, but didn't get it. And now it's Ironside, the four-goal man from Saturday, looking to double Nuneaton's lead here.
Two of them were penalties on Saturday as well.
So, well, Carnell, can he stop this little bit of rot that set in very early for FC United? Not expected at all. And Ironside now, look, trying to make it 2-0 to Nuneaton. And he does it. Sends Carnell the wrong way. No power in that. Just placed very nonchalant there to the keeper's left. Carnell going to the right. It's 2-0 Nuneaton.
This is a very different Nuneaton side than we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Possibly the new manager has made a big impact, Tommy Wright, since he took over. I mean, when he came here with them, he'd only been with them like 24 hours properly, hadn't he? So
we said that, didn't we, in our post-match talk?
He's had a bit of time to work with them because they went like almost 2 weeks without a game, didn't they? So...
Yes, and always an issue, of course, in Altrincham having removed their manager today, second of the season. So they'll have a new manager in place for FC's two contests with Altrincham over Christmas. And always can put a spring in the step of a side. And it certainly appears to be doing with Nuneaton. FC United 0, Nuneaton Town 2. It's played forward or rather a wayward clearance there. A free kick and easy to collect for Carnell. In fact, it was Tom Elliott who made that excellently timed tackle a few moments ago. Clearance is made. Oh, and there's a missed tackle there from Chandler. And it's 4-on-3 momentarily. Clifton into the 18-yard box. This could be 3-0. It is. And it's Nicholson. It was Chandler who stepped over the ball as he went to make a tackle. And he left his colleagues dangerously exposed. Clifton did ever so well. He held the ball up. Timed his pass to perfection. Nicholson was filling the gap that was left by Chandler, and a left-footed finish, lovely finish there, but Carnell absolutely nothing he could do with it. And it's 3-0 now to Nuneaton Town, and FC with it all to do. They've got to do a Wimbledon.
Well, what did you say before about like opening a tin of beans, was it, Ben? I think that was even more surgical the way it opened up.
Yeah, well, they really are clinical, Nuneaton FC. Not exactly tight as a drum at the back, but Nuneaton looked good. And Tommy Wright has to take some credit here because the scoreline is a reverse of what it is full-time a few days ago. I've seen now Scott Kay spreads it out there to Chandler, left-hand side. Chandler tries to bring it infield. threads it through to Thompson, back to Chandler. Chandler goes in nicely, but just, and gets it back there fortuitously. Now it's Winter. Winter with a nice angle. Oh, Thompson, beautiful move, Gilchrist. It's a goal. It's a magnificent piece of football from FC United. Absolutely superb there from the home side. Ball coming to Chandler quite fortuitously, but he took advantage, threaded the ball through, beautiful little back heel into the path of Gilchrist, who took it so well with a defender bearing down him and the keeper coming towards him. That was just what FC needed, having gone 3-0 down in the first half, back to 3-1.
48 minutes on the clock.
And we have now a contest.
That was delicious, that goal.
It was a really clever finish as well, from a tight angle.
It's a free kick, taken very nicely. Oh, it's gone in!
Right through the wall.
Through the wall, after all that. And, well, will that change the substitution plans? But that really is a sickener for FC United. All that hard work, Tom Brown is the man, according to the scoreboard, who will be going up. I don't think Marginson is changing his plan. Oh, dear, there's two substitutions. In fact, Wolfenden is also being readied. And nodded forward, Scott Kay, and it's headed forward. It could be 5-1 Ironside, straight at Carnell. Williams, 5-1. And that, I'm afraid, sums up the evening. Ball bobbling around there. Ironside shot, saved bravely by Carnell, but he could only parry it so far. And Williams, Aaron Williams, following in for the rebound.
So thank you, Carl, for joining us after that one. Well, they were straight out of the blocks, really, and we weren't till the second half, I don't feel. What are your take on it all?
It's back to the drawing board from about, what, 3-4 weeks ago. The little lessons that we've put into them over the four-game unbeaten run, for some reason, went out of the window. And the professionalism that we want to adopt, and the way that we want to play, we've got to work harder to make sure we enforce that. You can't start a game at 2-0 down, 3-0 down, and giving away goals that we gave away definitely in that first half.
Was there an element of surprise to it? Because obviously when we played Nuneaton a couple of weeks ago, they better not be,
because it certainly doesn't come from the staff. But I've just questioned the players' mindset in there. If your mindset is, it's just Nuneaton and we beat them a few weeks ago, then, well, there you go, there's your answer.
The first goal they scored, I never saw that coming. That was, it was cracking one-touch passing all the way through.
It was, yeah, but it doesn't happen. The first pass that goes into the front man, there's got to be pressure on that ball. He turned with nobody near him. Dead simple pass out to the wide man again, nobody near him. And the lads run straight through the centre.
So it's pretty much the same for the penalty as well.
Nobody near him, yeah. So you've got to learn your lessons. If balls need to get... We saw it in the Curzon Wimbledon game. You can't concede goals at regular intervals like that. They need to get... There's certain things that you'd have to adapt to, and that might need to, you might need to give a foul away or make sure that the play doesn't get anywhere near your goal. And tonight, defensively, we were nowhere near it. But attacking wise, we were always causing problems.
We didn't have that many shots on target, though. That was the surprising thing, because it felt like we had good build-up play.
Yeah,
but
there was good build-up play, and we got in behind, but our final ball was poor. And that's another thing. That's why I think the mindset was, it's okay, we'll just turn up. And when if you do that, you're gonna come unstuck. You have to concentrate for 90 minutes of every game, whether that be in possession or out possession.
So what's next then? Obviously, I don't think there's enough time to arrange a match for Saturday, but we'll wait and see on the website if one can be found. But definitely there will be Boston in a week on Saturday, and that was an important game anyway, but an important game now for the first team squad to bounce back.
Massive, absolutely enormous game. Enormous training session on Thursday and Saturday if we've got no game, and next Tuesday and next Thursday in preparation for that Boston game. You know, we can't underestimate how much of a blow that result is. Not the fact that it's Nuneaton or anything like that, because they were worthy winners because of our inadequacies, and they have got, you know, some good players, but these lads are going to work hard over the next week or so to make sure that come that Boston game, you're going to see an FC United team that's worthy of wearing the shirt.
Well, thanks for joining us, Cal.
Cheers.
FC United's manager Carl Margeson there speaking with Ben following FC's exit from this season's FA Trophy. And FC will be looking to bounce back at Broadhurst Park this coming Saturday as FC host Boston United in the league. Kick-off in North Manchester will be at 3 p.m. But if you cannot make it, then have no fear, the FC live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk.
Do you sometimes feel lonely? Do you long to be a part of something meaningful? Is your marriage no longer giving you the get up and go that you crave so heavily? Well, why not become an FC United member? It only costs £12 a year and you will then own an equal share. FC United is a not-for-profit organisation and your membership fee goes directly towards the running and progression of the club. We are all living in tight times, but ask yourself, do I really need that Xbox game? Do I really need to get the car fixed or to pay my electricity bill? Are my kids' school books really that important? I think you know what to do. Log on to the official website now at fc-utd.co.uk and spend money on something meaningful for once. FC United, a family club.
Welcome back to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM radio. To the weekend's football now, and on Sunday afternoon it was first against second as FC United's women's team hosted league leaders Merseyrail Bootle in the league. To find out how FC United got on in this crucial six-pointer, it's over to Ben Hughes and Women's Team Live from Sunday afternoon.
Yes, thank you, Cockers. And you join us here pre-match just on the side of the 3G pitch. And we're joined by the hard-working, dedicated volunteer to the women's team. It's Rob. Hello, Rob. How's things?
Very good, thanks, Ben. Very good. And yourself?
I'm all good. Sorry, it's a bit of a blustery day today. A bit cold, wintery.
Wind from the opposite direction today.
And a perfect weather for 3 points.
Yeah, that's a rubbish segue. Not at all. Every day is a perfect day for 3 points, isn't it, when FC United are playing, men or women? However, this is a biggie. We're up against Merseyrail Bootle, top of the league on goal difference. Both got exactly the same record this season, and this is really going to be a tough contest and a real examination of our title credentials. So, very, very nervous at the moment, but looking forward to it.
Now, obviously, we didn't be a slip-up, isn't the right phrase, but we dropped 2 points a few weeks ago against Curzon Ashton.
We did.
And we've not really looked back from that, if I'm being honest. We've nailed our opponents, whoever's been up against us. Yeah. Even the result last week against Liverpool Marshall Feds, even though it was only a mere single-digit win, it was still a very impressive performance. Merseyrail Bootle, they dropped their 2 points last week.
Yeah, it's interesting that they had they only had a narrow victory against Edgerton the week before, 2-1 away. And we struggled there at Edgerton, to be fair, with a 2-0 win. But the 4-0 win last week, after two comprehensive victories, 13 and 11, the 4-0 win last week, all the goals coming in the second half, was an ideal preparation for today, because they were lying in third place behind us in second, and they gave us a good test there, Marshall Feds, and fair play to them. So hopefully the girls won't need any inspiration to be up for today's game. If you can't be up for a game like this, then you shouldn't be playing football. But I think we'll that test last week was really beneficial.
The way we set up last week, it wasn't all plain sailing. The first half was it wasn't really clicking in the final third, and it certainly did click in the second half, but we can't really start like that today. I think we have to go at them from the get-go, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Ben. And to be fair, last week, the coaches, Jay on the sideline and his two staff, they made tactical switches at half-time, which made a big difference, dropped Jade Parker back into midfield, where I personally believe she's most effective, and she grabbed the opening goal as well, because she attacks through from midfield but drives the team forward, and brought Shelby on up front, and Shelby, leading goal scorer, she's always going to bag you a couple of goals. So it was really good to see that switch happen, and clearly we have to be as you said, Ben, on it from the start today, and it'd be interesting to see what the starting lineup is. I've not quite got it yet, so hopefully it'll be one that puts Jade in the midfield and possibly someone like Shelby up front.
Well, you know what we should do then, Rob? We should hand over to me, magically, on that balcony over there to give you the team news.
Hello and welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park, a delightfully wintry December afternoon here for this vitally important women's team live. It's FC United of Manchester, currently second in the league on 28 points, having played 10 games, against Merseyrail Bootle, currently top of the league on 28 points, having played 10 games. I'm Ben, and joining me is Stato Paul. Paul, thoughts going into this one?
Well, this is part three of the Merseyside trilogy for the winter. We've won the first two at home, this is the third, and obviously there's a goal difference between the two clubs. But a win today puts us top of the table.
Team news today, it's Amy Gillingham. He's back though at FC United. She's signed from Liverpool Marshall Feds. She's in goal this afternoon. Chloe Williams has still got that hand issue. So Amy Gillingham is back at the club. A cracking goalkeeper when she was there originally though, Paul.
Yeah, she did us proud in the time she was here. She won the title with us. And she played against us early in the season.
Well, we're off underway here in this top of the table clash. It's Sunday afternoon, women's team live here on FCUM Radio, and you're more than welcome to join us this afternoon, and hopefully 3 points heading the way of FC United. But a very, very important football match, this one. It's been billed as a 6-pointer, and it certainly is. Throw-in taken by Merseyrail, gets to the edge of the penalty box on the corner of it. Cross comes in from the left-hand side. Oh, and McCarrick there in the back, but she took a dive for my money, and a free kick won, literally won. And is it a penalty?
He's walking towards the penalty spot.
He is, isn't he? And everyone, even Merseyrail, was saying it was actually a free kick on the edge of the box, but he's given a penalty to Merseyrail Bootle. Well, that's controversial to say the least, and it's a penalty to Merseyrail Bootle. 16 minutes on the clock here, chance to break the deadlock. Here it comes. Oh, and Gillingham nearly got to it. Well, I have to say, firstly, I think it was a free kick on the edge of the box. And secondly, I'm not sure it was actually a foul to begin with. Paul, thoughts?
I think it was rather harsh, that, but the goal's been given. And
it was Collins.
Collins, yeah, Jade Collins.
So on 16 minutes, Merseyrail Bootle take the lead away from home for them. FC United now need to get back into this game as quickly as possible. We've got 24 minutes on the clock here, and it's 1-0 to Merseyrail Bootle. Controversial penalty decision, which Collins slotted home. That broke the deadlock. Still 1-0 to Merseyrail, and a free kick won there. And I think there's a bit of professionality to Merseyrail, I have to say.
Well, this is how you get top of the table.
So it's a free kick to Merseyrail. In line with the corner of the penalty box on the left-hand side. It's about 10 yards from that area. The cross is going to come in here from this free kick. In it comes towards near post. It goes. It breaks to Hardacre. Shoots! And that is a fine finish from Hardacre. Not much you can do with that. You really have to deal with the first ball. And we didn't. It got to Hardacre. And on 26 minutes, Merseyrail take a 2-goal lead.
That was a clinical finish from the edge of the box. The free kick wasn't dealt with properly, and with a loose ball, she just rifled it in with the left foot. She scored twice last week, not last week, the week before. So she's got previous Hardacre in terms of goal scoring.
Ball played forward there by Chambers, trying to find Wollstonecroft, but it's cleared. Parker wins that ball back, and it's McCarrick now. Nice little 1-2 there with Parker and McCarrick. McCarrick checks the run, plays it to Chambers, plays it to Parker. Parker now. Good stuff from Parker, gets it to McCarrick. McCarrick plays it central to Wollstonecroft, who's on the wrong side of the defender, and the ball is clear, but only as far as Chambers now. Chambers, infield it comes to Greenall. Greenall plays a lovely ball to Wild. Wild's going to get to it, I think. Goalkeeper does
no.
Well. Spilled by the goalkeeper. Ref says no foul. Here's Wild, shoots. Palmed hey. Away. It's going to go in. It's in.
It's in.
My goodness.
What a goal.
Well, that was a lovely through ball from Greenall, and it looked like the goalkeeper wasn't going to get to it. The goalkeeper did get to it. Wild, though, might not in Esk. I'm not too sure, but I'm pretty sure she did kick it out of the goalie's hands.
But what a defence-splitting pass to put Wild in.
It was a beautiful ball from Greenall.
Brilliant angled ball in behind the back four. The goalie came out, it looked like she claimed it, didn't she?
And the shot that came in from Wild, the second...
The goalie actually regained her position almost and parried it. But unfortunately, it trickled over the line before the fullback could claw it out.
And on 44 minutes, it's now 2-1 to Merseyrail Bootle.
Dramatic stuff.
And the kidology continues here.
Yeah.
Even on a kickoff. I think Merseyrail might be sitting on this lead now, you know.
Well,
the way they're set up.
Yeah, they're probably very good at it as well.
Gillingham clears the ball. Just gets to the halfway line. He's headed straight back, though. Famous last words I just said there. Ball played through there. But Fran Davies gets to the ball and saves his commentator's blushes. And the ball played through again. And McCarrick's going to have to play this back, I think. No, she decides to turn and clear. It's turned out well because it gets to Greenall. Greenall now plays it to this near touchline where Chambers is, but she's dispossessed and the ball played through there, but it's well read by Chelsea Patient. Patient plays it to Fran Davies along the 18-yard box. Surveys her options. Starting to have blue shirts heading her way. And the ball forward to Greenall doesn't get to anybody. And now Merseyrail back on the ball. Chipped over the top. Fran Davies is out of position. Goalkeeper, one-on-one, shot, goal. And that is, well, on 49 minutes, a goal there from Sophie Perry. And Fran Davies tried to play a ball forward. Greenall was surrounded by blue shirts. Because Fran Davies was out of position, the ball came straight back over the top. Perry was in acres of space. There's not much the goalkeeper could have done with it. It slotted into the corner. And Paul, difficult now, I think.
Yeah, we were trying to play our way out of defence, and unfortunately they closed this down, nicked the ball, and then the chip ball through for Sophie Perry was good. She won the challenge and fired it in. Unfortunate start to the half. It's set us back again.
Throw into Merseyrail, taken over on that far side. It's now back with Mayhead, played more central. Chelsea Patient deals with it, but the second ball is picked up by Merseyrail, and Fran Davies clears it, gets it to Parker, who's playing makeshift right back all of a sudden, and she comes in filled with it now. Heading forward towards the halfway line she goes, still on the ball, and she's going to leave that, I'd imagine, to Holden, who plays the ball over the top. Shelby Wustercroft with a good touch there, trying to win that ball, but there's too many blue shirts near her, and she clears it. Only as far as McCarrick. McCarrick does well and plays the ball to the halfway line where Holden is. Holden has been pressured and plays the ball down the right-hand side where Wild is. 3-1 if you're just joining us to Merseyrail Bootle. And here is Wild now. Wild, central. She's pushed off the ball though there. Good strength and a bit of pulling going on there. And this might kick off now.
It's gone a bit ugly in the middle of the pitch.
And it was Sol there who took exception to Wild pulling her back a bit. And
Kirsty's getting involved as the captain. It's going to be a yellow card, I think.
Yeah, but then there is the reaction as well, so maybe that should be dealt with too.
I think that's been forgotten, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So it's a free kick to Merseyrail, and you won't be surprised the player's gone down injured as well.
Yeah, they're very good on the timeouts. People go down all over the place, don't they?
So you could tweet us this afternoon at FCUM Radio. Oh, it's a red card. It's a red card.
That's really severe, isn't it?
It's a red card. You're giving Wild a red card. Wild has been sent off for... I can't imagine what that is for. That is crackers.
We've not got many breaks from this referee this afternoon, have we?
That is odd. What could that possibly be for?
I mean, she pulled it. She pulled the player back in midfield. Okay, it's a free kick, and it's a yellow card at worst. The Merseyrail player reacted by squaring up to her. Now, to me, if that's a red card, then the Merseyrail player should also be cautioned for her part in that, because she reacted and provoked the incident that followed it.
Weird.
So
I have no idea what that's for.
So a 3-1 down now.
I mean,
with 10 men.
Could the argument be she pulled her back by the hair?
If it was violent conduct, something like that, yes, possibly. I mean,
but it wasn't the worst of pulls, was it? Didn't yank her, didn't clothesline her or anything, did she?
No. But I think that was very severe.
It's going to be Atherton to take this throw in, looking for a short one. Throws it to Hardacre, heads it on. Chelsea Patient is there though, and the ball. She's having to chase her own clearance, and she wins that ball, does well. And there's Tatsell coming out of her own half to try and win that ball. And that's a poor defensive line we're running there. Fran Davies doesn't deal with it, and it looks like it's going to be Ford. Indeed it is. And the defensive line, just wasn't there from FC United. And that looks like curtains now. FC United 4-1 down, Paul.
Yeah, the ball over the top, it was really down to Fran, I think, I would say, to deal with it. Unfortunately, she couldn't get to it. And the player was left with a dink over the keeper to finish.
And the ball played down the line there, but just out of play for throw-in to FC United. What's the referee giving here?
I think he's going to bring it back for the challenge of Shelby's.
Crazy refereeing. I mean, the referee has refereed this game in a remarkable way.
In his own unique style.
Yes, very much so. Ball cleared over the top, and we let it bounce, and Mirzarella through here, and that is the inevitable fifth goal. And I say inevitable because, well, the men's team got beat 5-1 on Tuesday.
Well, that was a good call, Ben.
And it seems only poetic that it should be 5-1 here. And, well, over the top it goes. It's a through ball we've not really dealt with. And, well, 5-1.
Well, there you go. History does repeat itself.
Well, this club is my club. It's going to be a joy to edit this week. And that is full time here at Broadhurst Park. FC United, we've built this as a six-pointer, and FC United have succumbed to their first defeat of the league season. And Paul, 5-1, it's kind of poetic. It rhymes with the men's team this week, but it's not the result we wanted, really.
We had two teams coming together today who were both unbeaten, both level on points at the top of the table, and obviously it was a game that was going to signpost the future. For one of them, at least. Unfortunately, the women's team today have probably put in their worst performance of the season at the worst time. They've come up against a team that was very professional and very well organised, that have picked off mistakes and exploited them. We have to mention the red card to Chloe Weld in the second half.
Let's start with the first half. The first half was very sluggish from FC United's point of view. There were some circumstances, though, that we mitigating circumstances we need to mention. The penalty call, it was on the 18-yard box, just. It was a generous penalty, to say the least, for Merseyrail. Collins did slot it home quite comfortably, but the debate has to be had. Was it a penalty in the first place?
I didn't see a lot of appealing going on for the penalty. And
they were shocked. I think Merseyrail was surprised.
I think all the 22 players on the pitch kind of had a look at that and thought, oh, he's given a penalty. Quite a surprise. So they stick the penalty away, which was a nice festive gift for them to start the game. And then they got a very good second goal.
We discussed it at half time. That in itself, the free kick, yeah, it was generous whether it was a free kick then. The shot cut, the free kick comes in, we don't deal with it well.
They find the loose ball.
The second ball, Hardacre just slops it home. It's a cracking finish for Merseyrail.
And then we kind of get our act together for the last 10 minutes of the first half. And played the best football we had all afternoon in terms of effort and purpose.
We said we should have been 3-2 up, really.
We had at least three chances in those 10 minutes to get back in the game. We took one of them. Chloe Wiles, excellent finish from a scramble that came out of the goalie's hands.
We're going to be fair. But we're going to be fair and balanced. We mentioned the penalty decision. Yeah. Should it have been a penalty? Probably not. That goal that we scored, Wild definitely kicked it out of the goalkeeper's hands.
Yeah, it's whether she had it under control, I suppose, is the argument. But anyway, the sad thing is that Shelby had two chances at the end of the first half. If she'd taken one of them, we would have gone in level. But we were 2-1 down. We came out for the second half and we just didn't pick up the threads and the momentum that we had in the first half.
They get a third goal very, very quickly into the second half.
That's a very deflating moment in the game. And then we get the red card incident.
Now, we need to discuss the red card incident because it 3-1 down against Merseyrail. Merseyrail, top of the league, very, very good side. But 3-1 down, there is FC United are a good side. There's still a chance of coming back into the game. The sending off of Wild is the most baffling decision I've come across commentating on football.
For a while.
I just can't fathom what the referee saw.
I mean, we saw the shirt pull. A possible shirt pull in the middle of the pitch. The opposition player turns around, reacts to it, which is fair enough. You know, nobody likes having a shirt pulled. We didn't really see much beyond that, though, in terms of what justified a red card instead of a yellow. I think we would have all have said, yeah, yellow card for that. But to pull out a red, there must have been a reason for it, and we don't know what that reason was. And obviously, 3-1 down and down to 10 men, that kills the game off stone dead against a good side.
And then it's academic what happens after that, and it'll just go in Stat or Paul's spreadsheet, I'd imagine. But two goals follow. FC United 5-1 losers this afternoon. We came into this with a deficit of goals of 7. That's obviously going to take us up to
11
goals now, the goal difference gap. We've obviously got to play Merseyrail in the new year, but I think now we are relying on Merseyrail slipping up.
They've got to slip up, and we've got to rack up a good sequence of wins now to pressure them. We've got to keep a relentless run on them to try and catch them up. But a disappointing afternoon after all the build-up to it. We came here with very high hopes this afternoon, and unfortunately it's the Merseysiders that have gone home with the points and the glory.
And where does this take us? I mean, next up we've got an away trip to Northwich Vixens next Sunday. The address for the ground is Manchester Road, Lostock Grayland. Cheshire CW9 7PJ. Kickoff will be 2 o'clock on Sunday. But it's a tricky game, this one, and we need to be on it.
We have to bounce back in good style next week and get a good victory to raise the morale. And also, of course, hope that Merseyrail Boot will derail themselves at some point in the new year.
I've been a bit disappointed by your puns today. You've not done enough of them. Well, you've only done two.
That is true, yeah. Mm. Well, you know, there's always next week. Boston.
It's just been a disappointing afternoon all round, really.
That's not going to be a tea party for the men's team, is it? But
free, folks, free. And I've even mentioned the first team. So it's been a very disappointing afternoon, we have to say, here at Broadhurst Park. Merseyrail winning by 5-1. Refereeing decisions aside, Merseyrail, very, very good side. Probably the best we've come across this season so far. There has been kidology, certainly, in professionalism, but to win leagues you have to have that, I think.
Yeah, you can say that they are the full package in some ways. Maybe some of the package we didn't like, but
that's the game of football.
That's the game in the top of the table.
And well, congratulations to Merseyrail Bootle. Just a quick question before we go. The Norton game, it was a similar thing where we didn't really play to our full potential. Is there anything the coaching staff can do to get the first team, the women's team, up for these games? Because we played very similar. And it is a psychological thing, I feel.
Possibly, yes. I mean, I would say Jess McCarrick and Jade Parker today,
yep,
were
head and shoulders
well above the rest of the team in terms of performance. There were one or two that didn't play to their level today. And we suffered because of that, because mistakes were made that led to goals. And we can't afford those kind of mistakes.
Well, this has been Women's Team Live on a Sunday. Unfortunately, we've not been able to bring you a win. Head over to Lostock Grayland on Sunday for the rebound. Northwich Vixens against FC United and Manchester Women's Team. FC Live will be back on Saturday for FC United's home encounter against Boston. And we'll be there for that one. As will Swampy, of course. Da-da-da-da-da! So keep it FCUM Radio. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, you have a lovely Sunday. Goodbye.
Women's Team Live there from Sunday afternoon. After the match, Neil Boothman caught up with FC United interim manager Jay Astley.
OK, I'm here with Jay Astley, Women's Team manager. Tabletop clash against Merseyrail Bootle. Didn't turn out the way we wanted it to be, though.
No, I think we were, if I'm being dead honest, I think we were a bit nervous at the start. Couldn't pass the ball into feet with the quality that we have been doing definitely the last few weeks. We were panicking a little bit, giving the ball away too much. I think they were very fit. They got in our faces. Yeah, didn't give us any time on the ball. And yeah, I just think we started off really, really slowly. Whereas the last few weeks we've been on it from the first whistle. I think we were a bit not quite on it as much today, mate.
Yeah, a bit tentative. It seemed to me that they didn't have a great deal of chances, but every time we went clumsy or had a mistake, they pounced and they scored.
Yeah, I think that was probably the difference today for me. I think, yes, they worked hard in the midfield and closed us down, but I think in the last third, I think their quality showed. And I think the girl up front who scored the two goals for him, I think she had probably had four chances and scored the two. And that's, I think, been the difference today, the quality in the final third.
Yeah, we didn't have too many shots on target in the end either, though, so even if all of ours had gone in, I don't think we'd have won. So I think you can see why Merseyrail not only were top, but also had the goal difference that had helped them into the game.
Yeah, they're a good side, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, all through the team, they've got some decent players. But saying that, you know, we're a very good side on our day. I just think today we started a bit slowly and just let ourselves down a little bit today.
Yeah, unfortunate, really. But we've got to say goodbye to your managership.
Yeah, unfortunately I'll be leaving the club after today. A new manager's been appointed. So yeah, it is with sadness that I'll be leaving.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I've been here for 2.5 years and I think we've got a really good side together. So all I would like to say is a massive thank you to, first of all the girls, because I think they've been brilliant over the last two seasons. And then last but definitely not least, all the fans and all our supporters that have been with us week in, week out, home and away. You've made a massive difference, and I'd just like to say a massive thank you to everybody.
Well, I'd like to say a thank you to you as well, because I think your input as assistant and then team manager has been wonderful and has brought the team on very nicely. Thanks very much, Jay Astley.
Thank you, Neil.
That's nearly it from me, but just a reminder that this coming Saturday's match at Broadhurst Park, the club will be accepting donations of toys, which will be distributed to families and young people across the region. The Toy Collection is an initiative that sees FC United working closely with the Frost Foundation, a charity that helps children and teenagers in the Greater Manchester area who are disadvantaged by illness, circumstance or lack of money. In particular, they support children with disabilities and those living in poverty to help them live their lives to the full. All types of toys in good condition are welcome. Anything from cuddly toys, Lego, dolls, jigsaws, games, educational toys, train sets or remote control cars. So please just bring them along on Saturday the 17th of December to the ground. Alternatively, you can drop them off at the ground anytime this week on Monday to Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.